a prelude up front. So it basically said this is a living document. It's designed to be reviewed and changed, very soft and changed as necessary. I don't think any of them specified any specific times, but basically at the discretion or as needed.
The advisory group or the council?
Well, it depends on the document.
It'll be the council, it's the council's policies.
The council's the only one that can approve it, but it would be, I think, it would be behoove this committee to make that a goal to don't let the document get stagnant, especially in light of what Jim was saying there. Make certain that we make the document, that we don't make it so restrictive that we're going to discourage an operator who simply goes online and reads minimum standards and who may be considering activity, you know, some type of aeronautical activity. We want to start discouraging people before they do the research, but we don't want to make our minimum standards so restrictive to discourage people. So it just goes back to some of the discussions we had when we began this whole process.
And I think we've done a good job so far. I mean, if you look at things like, did we do flight school? You know, the only, you have to have one airplane and one instructor. You know, which right now we've got no airplanes, no instructors with a flight school. You know, so to attract, you know, the right standard to attract people to come here is not to, you know, say 10 instructors and 10 airplanes. You know, it's what we did. It's one airplane, one instructor. You know, that's a reasonable, it's attainable, it makes sense for this airport. You know, as the economy picks back up again, people start flying more, want to learn how to fly, you know, and the flight school now on their own has, you know, 5 airplanes and 10 instructors, you know, to meet demand. You know, maybe the next time that we look at standards, you up that one airplane, one instructor to, you know, 3 airplanes, 3 instructors or something, you know, that makes sense for the airport, that, you know, that's the level of service you want this airport to offer the public. You know, and it protects that guy that's invested in airplanes and people, you know, protects him from, you know, somebody coming in and only having, you know, one airplane, one instructor and part-time, and, you know, it's not a fair competition anymore. You know, now he gets undercut and maybe he goes out of business because, you know, he can't afford, you know, the investment that he's made. So, you know, you change things as you go along to meet the conditions.
I would just caution about being too reactionary and kind of let the business and the demand dictate, you know, and I think that will drive the workforce that are an operating employee. You know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It has to make sense for this airport. It has to be attainable. It has to be reasonable. And once you establish them, you have to apply them uniformly to everybody. You know, and one of the things that I've done lately is there's a formal complaint process with the FAA. It's part FAR Part 16. But I've gone through a lot of those complaints having to do with minimum standards. And, you know, there's cases like, you know, an airport will set a minimum standards, and they'll impose that on a new operator, and not on an existing operator. And the FAA said, no, that violates your grant assurances because you're not applying them uniformly, and you're creating an exclusive right for that existing operator to operate at a lower level of service that you're not offering to everybody else. So. Like I said, you know, have to apply it uniformly, and there's ways to get in trouble for not doing that. So where are we on moving forward here? Is there still a disagreement?
Well, this is a significant game changer. Because we went through the rules and regulations with the understanding that the existing leases trump, okay?
The rules and regulations didn't have anything to do with leases or minimum standards.
You didn't talk about flight schools in it?